Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to give you an extra minute to find that. Lamentations chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. I will ask, as you are turning your Bibles there, to kind of see maybe, as we talked about, some things that you took note of this week, things that you were thankful for. I can stand here all day.
Running water.
Yeah, that's a good one. Running water, very much.
I was thankful for Friday.
What's that?
I was thankful for Friday.
Thankful for Friday. Friday. Yeah. Yeah, the beauty of the days. Yeah, what else?
Co-workers.
Good. What else?
My grandchildren.
Your grandchildren, excellent. Yeah. Anybody else?
The living word.
Yeah. Well, my encouragement this week is that you will take some time and you will make note of things that you are thankful for. Now, obviously, when we talk about Thanksgiving, as we sit around this time of the year, it's easy for us to look for those opportunities. You know, the challenge, I think, a lot of times is not just whenever we're in the season of thanks, but out of season. You know, as we're going to look at this morning in the book of Lamentation, as we continue this series on giving thanks and the heart of why we do that, last week we kind of talked about the when we are to give thanks. Anybody remember the verse that we read last week? It starts with the word rejoice. Rejoice when?
Always.
Always. Pray when?
Without
pray without ceasing. And give thanks in everything, right? So that's kind of the when we are to give thanks, when we're to express our joy, when we are to pray. Today we're going to talk about the why we give thanks. You know, as I mentioned to you last week, I've always been kind of a glass half empty sort of person. I try to be a little bit more positive. If you spend time around me, you know, sometimes my wife calls me Debbie Downer. I don't think it's very nice, but whatever. The picture is that sometimes when we look at life around us, it's quite easy. It's very, very easy for us to begin to look at the negatives, right? I mean, if you take a minute, and just like we sit here and ask the kids, and then I ask you, I'm not going to, please don't start shouting it out, but I ask you to give some things you're thankful for, and we kind of hesitate. But if I were to ask you to tell me some things that you're not thankful for, do you think you'd respond any quicker?
Yeah.
You probably would. I mean, if we're being honest, well maybe not. But I would. If there were things that you, if you said, well, what are things you're not thankful for?
Snow.
I mean, snow. Yeah, snow probably reaches pretty high up on the list. But when we think about this idea of things we're not thankful for, it seems to come quicker. You know, we look at culture around us, and you know, I mean, if we're honest, I mean, there's a lot of troubles. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of reason to complain and to be upset and to kind of not give thanks. If we take a moment, it's a whole lot easier. The analogy I like to give, it's a lot easier to pull somebody off of a chair than to pull somebody onto a chair. I mean, you've heard me talk about that before. And I think thanks is one of those issues. Being grateful, having that attitude of gratitude is one of those things that, you know, maybe if I come here this morning and, man, I've just had a great day. Everything has gone really, really well. And I'm thankful for this and thankful for that. And, you know, I'm kind of on this chair. And you come in and you say, well, it was a nice day, but then the wind started blowing. Or, you know, well, that was a good thing, but then you showed up. You know, whatever that might be. You know what I mean? It's easy to come off of this idea of thanks, isn't it? Now, we're going to take a minute this morning, and we're going to think about the topic of thanks in a very unthankful book. Now, if you've ever read the book of Lamentations, it is generally not a proof text, if you will, for the subject of Thanksgiving. Now, does anybody know what Lamentations is about? It's Jeremiah writing essentially the laments of the nation of Israel. I mean, it's basically a book where Jeremiah whines a lot. Now, Lamentations is a very real book. You know, it's usually probably not a place. If you ask me where you'd start to read the Bible, I probably wouldn't tell you. If you've never read the Bible before, to start in the book of Lamentations. Because you're going to read some stuff and you're going to think, man, this doesn't sound very good. But in the midst of Lamentations, what we find, even though we can kind of look at it from a 10,000-foot view and we can see, man, Jeremiah's got a lot of difficult things going on here. It seems like he's just complaining and struggling and having this hardship. But in the midst of this hardship, Jeremiah brings out some texts for us this morning that they kind of shifts our perspective, the why we give thanks. You see, because as we mentioned last week, the reason we give thanks is not because of our circumstances. The reason that we can give thanks is not because of some of the difficulties and challenges we go through. While we can learn and grow from those things, the reason we give thanks is because of the promise we have in Christ. Now, when we think about Thanksgiving, it seems like a pretty simple topic. We ask the question, what is Thanksgiving for? You know, many people will give different answers. My family doesn't really watch football, but then, you know, there's a lot of people that would say, well, I'm thankful for Thanksgiving football. Anybody watch Thanksgiving football? Like two of you, three of you. All right, good. All right, so some of you may say that we're thankful for Thanksgiving because of family and friends, or maybe we're thankful for the food and just the opportunity to share. But Thanksgiving is not just a day. Thanksgiving is an attitude. It boils down to our hearts in response to what God has given to us. Now, let me begin. You're not going to see this verse up on the screen. Our key text this morning is going to be out of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. But I want to give you kind of a picture. Maybe if you look over on the other page as I'm looking at my Bible, and tell you a little bit about where Jeremiah is. So he says this in verse 10. He says, he is a bear waiting in ambush, a lion in hiding. He forced me off my way and tore me to pieces. He left me desolate. He bent his bow and set a target, set me as a target for his arrows. He pierced my kidneys with his arrows. I am a laughingstock to all my people, mocked by their songs all day long. He filled me with bitterness and seeded me with the wormwood. He ground my teeth on gravel and made me cower in the dust. Amen? I mean, Jeremiah is going through some hardship. Now, we can talk a lot about the historical context about what's happening with Jeremiah. But I think some of us, as we come to the subject of Thanksgiving is a hard time. As I was driving back from Billings this week, I heard this deal on the radio about reasons people hate Thanksgiving. 59% said the reason that people hate Thanksgiving is because they have to spend too much time with family. I mean, that's a difficult picture. You know, one of the reasons I think sometimes people struggle with Thanksgiving is it kind of brings out some realities. Maybe you've gone through a loss. Maybe you've had some type of difficulty in your life. And Thanksgiving is one of those moments and times that just kind of seems to bring it back up. You know, maybe you've lost a loved one. Or maybe a family relationship is damaged or hurt. And Thanksgiving is a time where we look at it and we say, I'm just not really thankful for this. Jeremiah in chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations gives us this picture of what he's gone through, the hardships, the abandonment, the difficulty that he has come from. But starting in verse 22, he gives us a new picture about no matter what may be happening around us, the center of why we can give thanks, not just on a singular day, but every moment of our lives. Starting in verse 22, he says this, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. You know, as you look at Lamentations chapter 3, what we kind of hear is this opposition to the attitude that sometimes is so pervasive. This last verse you see up on the screen is a verse that as I read it, I kind of had this idea, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Have you ever heard that phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? And that's sort of how we approach life. Maybe you don't, but sometimes that's how I approach it. If I complain the loudest, someone will hear me. You know, Jeremiah had reason to complain. He had hardship upon hardship upon hardship. He had literally been abandoned by his entire nation. But he says in verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the deliverance from the Lord. See, the promise, the reason, the hope that we have in Thanksgiving is that it's not based on us, it's not based on our circumstance, but it's based on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The hope and consistently we find in the Lord. So as we think this morning about this attitude of gratitude, I want us to begin by reflecting on God's grace. By reflecting on God's grace, what we begin to understand is that forgiveness does not come from ourselves. It is not done based on our actions or our personal righteousness, but it is done solely based on the grace of our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." You see, Ephesians, the Apostle Paul knew what grace was. Paul knew what grace was because of what he had endured. We spoke last week as we reflected on the picture of the things that he endured. I mean, being stoned and beat to death and left for dead. He knew what grace was because he had been on the other side. But by grace, for you are saved by grace through faith. See, I think another reason that we struggle with thanksgiving is because sometimes our faith is based in the wrong things. Listen, church, if your perspective and your hope and your reason for thanks is based on your current circumstance or life situation, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to struggle to give thanks, but faith is putting our hope in something beyond ourselves. And that something beyond ourselves comes from God, and God never disappoints. But people do, don't they? Situations do, don't they? Family, friends, whoever, however you want to say it. People disappoint, but God never does. And he tells us again that this is a gift, that grace is a gift from God. And the reason we can have thanks is as we reflect on this truth that the gift was given to us not based on our merit, but by God's graciousness. The next thing I want us to look at this morning is as we reflect on God's goodness, what we begin to find as we read in verses 22 and 23 is this reminder that God is, in his character, good. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's take a minute and just look at the heart of these verses. This word, because, connotates the very character of God. It's not just a vague reference. Rather, it's saying because God is this. Not because God could be, but because God is. There's no question about God's faithful love. Because of God's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. You see, literally, Jeremiah was facing death. I mean, the opportunity was not far from him to face death. But many of us, we struggle with the idea, thinking that our current circumstances will bring a type of death. And the picture here is that because of God's character, and it tells us what God's character is, it's defined by what? His faithful love. His mercies aren't dependent on us. His love is not dependent on us, but rather it is his character. And his character is faithful. His character is trustworthy. But so often, again, our perspective of the reason we give thanks is based on our circumstance. And the goodness of God is defined here telling us that he is faithful, that his mercies never end. And just like we read last week about this continuation, this picture that we are to rejoice always, pray constantly or without ceasing, and we are to give thanks in everything. You see, this, these wordings that we find here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, they are new every morning. That God's mercies are new every morning. And church, when was the last time that you stopped and reflected on the goodness of God? Maybe as you stepped outside in the morning, in a beautiful day, and you took an opportunity just to reflect on God's mercy. The fact that you were standing up, that you opened your eyes and you could take a breath. Sometimes we let so much chaos and so much junk enter into our lives that we forget about what really matters most. See, God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He rose again on the third day, gave us victory over death. The hope that we have is in God's mercy. The hope that we have is in his faithfulness. The hope that we have is in his righteousness and not our own. His mercies are new every morning. Maybe this morning, you need to take a minute and remember that today is a new day. So often we carry with us the burdens of previous days. You know, I mean, it seems simple, you know, but we've all seen probably the analogy, it's hard to go forward when you're only looking backwards. Sometimes our reason for being unthankful is because all we can think of is all the bad stuff that happened in the rearview mirror. And all we ever do is center and focus and spin around all the junk that we forget what God has done. Every single one. Now, church, I know some of your life situations. I know what some of you go through. Some of you had tremendous hardships and difficulties that I've never faced or encountered. I know that there are moments of time that it's hard to wake up in the morning and say, I can give thanks for this. My prayer and hope is that during as we look at these words from Jeremiah, that we can remember that even those simple things a reason to give thanks. The other picture I want us to look at this morning as we reflect on the reason for thanks is that we can reflect on God's guidance. You see, as you look in these verses in Lamentations chapter 3, it tells us that God is a God who guides. Chapter 3, verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him." Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you are good at waiting? One of you went like this. One of you went like this. Like you didn't even move your arm. There's not anybody really good at waiting. Moms, come on. You got to be better than that. You're pretty good at waiting? All right. We'll say one and a half, right? That'd be good enough. One and a half are good at waiting. Not many of us are very good at waiting. You can ask my wife. I started this years ago, and for whatever reason, I'm not smart enough to change it. I'll make this declaration. As the head of the household, I'm leaving and I'm going to be in the car. Anybody else ever made that proud proclamation? I am in the car. What does that infer? You should be coming with me. And then you sit in the car for however long. I'm not a patient person. I mean, I don't know how many hours I've sat in the vehicle just waiting. And for, like I said, I'm not smart enough to stop. You know, and so the picture here is that sometimes we don't wait very well. And I'm under the belief that a lot of times the chaos and hardship that we endure is our own fault. Because we don't wait. Sometimes all the junk and circumstances that we find ourselves in, it's because we didn't wait. Good things take time, don't they? You can't rush things. You know, sometimes we talk about the will of God. We get so encumbered with it needs to have a schedule. And if it doesn't go according to my schedule, then it's not really good. You see, but Lamentations tells us that the Lord is good when? To those who wait for him. Now that doesn't change the character of God's goodness. God is still good. But God is asking you to place your faith in Him, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Thy will be done. You see, that simple prayer, that Lord's Prayer that all of us could say with, in probably multiple languages. I mean, we think it, but oftentimes we don't live it. That proclamation that God's will be done means that we wait for Him. Maybe this morning we struggle to give thanks because we're not letting God guide our lives, but rather we're hoping He comes along with our plan in the future. But Jeremiah reminds us the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for deliverance in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and He will guide all of your ways, and He will make your path straight. You see, the words that we find there tell us that sometimes this curve and this twist and all the hardships we find is because we're on the wrong road. We haven't placed our faith and our trust in God's guidance. But God is a God who desires to guide His people. God is a God who desires to point us and reveal to us His direction and His will. Now, I think it's important to note in verse 26, as I mentioned a moment ago, it is good to wait quietly. How many have ever read anything that King David wrote? You ever read the Psalms? You've probably read a lot that David wrote. David had a little bit of a tendency. Did David wait quietly well for the Lord? No, there are such statements as, God, when will you answer me? Why have you abandoned me? You know, I think as we reflect on our own lives, sometimes we feel just like David. And we're on this road, we're on this path, we're lost, we're confused, we're struggling, and we say, God, when will you answer me? But Lamentations 3 says it is good to wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. This is not a what if, this is a when. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, a commonly quoted section of Scripture, says, I know both how to live with little and how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Now, the next one you're going to know quite well. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this one is one of my favorite verses, but also one of those verses. You guys remember my phrase, people like to crowbar things. This is a verse people crowbar out of context. All right, they look at it and say, I can do all things through Christ. And that sounds really good. We put it on t-shirts and stickers and mugs. And we're just ready to go. But they forget the first part, didn't they? What did Paul say to the church in Philippi? I know what it means to be well-fed and hungry. I know what it means to be in need, but and in plenty. Now, we don't like that idea. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, except when I'm hungry. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, except when I am in need. When everything's good, man, I can do all things. But Paul says, even in the little, even in the moments where we struggle to give thanks, we can give thanks because our strength comes from the Lord. You see, as we remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says there is a time and season for everything under heaven. There's a time for everything. Maybe you are in a great season of thanks. Maybe you are in a great season of struggle and hardship. But there is a time for everything. And as we trust, as we respond, as we reflect on God's guidance, we know that He will lead. So can I say this without offending you from verse 26? Stop complaining and wait on the Lord. Sometimes we just need to stop whining and remember what God has done for us. As we think on that idea, how many have ever heard this statement? You can get bitter, or you can get what? Better. You can get bitter or you can get better. We have to learn. We must learn to be thankful or we will become bitter people. See, as we think about this idea of bitterness, it is the antithesis, it is the opposite of someone who is thankful. Now, I wish I could tell you I knew more thankful people than I know bitter people. But if we're honest, that's usually not the case. What makes someone bitter? What makes someone come to this place to where they're just angry with life, where the world around them, everything is wrong and everything's going against them? What happened at some point in time? You see, their attention was drawn away from the source of hope and became dependent on themselves or dependent on others or the circumstances that they found themselves in. They chose not to get better. They chose not to trust in God's will. They chose not to trust in His guidance, but rather on themselves. And they became bitter, angry, frustrated. Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. Tell us this. Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, a well-known section of Scripture says, right away a man with a severe skin disease came up and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing, and he made him clean. Immediately the disease was healed. Then Jesus told him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priest, and offer a gift, the gift as Moses prescribed, as a testimony to them. You see, what we're told as we look at this picture, that the man had been, anybody know anything about leprosy?
Yes.
It's not a nice disease.
It's just side of the bone.
That's right. Parts of your body start to fall off, all right? We'll just leave it at that. There's nothing nice or clean about it. And leprosy at that point in time was a disease that people lived with until it took their lives. So here we find in Matthew chapter 8, a man who had clearly been living with this disease for years. Now, he had an opportunity, didn't he? Just like, how many people are in this story? Let me ask, how many people are in this story? There are two. Jesus and the leper. Was he the only leper? No. But this man, who had been inflicted with this horrible, terrible disease, he looked for an opportunity to get better, didn't he? Because he could have clearly sat there in the leper colony and said, there's no one, no thing that can help. But instead, because of his faith, he came to Jesus. And you know what it took for him to be cleansed? He reached out his hand. Reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing. Be made clean. And immediately it happened. See, church, maybe you have been inflicted, you've struggled with some hardship, some disease, some difficulty, some life circumstance that's caused you to be bitter. Don't wallow in it, but be like the leper. Maybe sometimes we just need to come before the Lord and we need healing. Maybe there's some situation we've struggled with, some issue that we just don't think we can forgive. Maybe there's someone or something that's happened that we say, God, I don't even want you to touch it because I kind of like it. You know, sometimes we become so comfortable in our bitterness that it begins to be where we reside. But Jesus says, come. Jesus calls us. He desires that we would reach out and receive the healing and forgiveness that He has given to us. You see, the man could have gotten bitter, but yet he chose to become better. The second thing I want us to look at is that we must learn to be thankful or we will become discouraged. If we don't learn to be thankful, we will not only become bitter, but we will become discouraged. Jesus says these words, in this world, you will what? You will have trouble. No Nobody said amen to that. In this world, you will have trouble. Then he stopped it. He did. He said, but I am overcome. See, that's a reason that we can be thankful. That's a reason that we don't have to become discouraged. It's because hope does not reside in ourselves, but it resides in a holy and righteous God. You see, the Bible is a book of encouragement. It tells us time and time again, John chapter 15, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for lo, I am with you always. Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. You see, there's something I've started challenging myself as I've thought through this season of thanks. Is asking myself this question. If it had not been for God. You see, that question says, well, if it hadn't been for God, what would have happened? Maybe I can look back at something I've gone through. And if it hadn't been for God, this would have looked different. If it hadn't been for God, this would have changed everything. But the verse we read last week out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, in everything give thanks. We have to learn to give thanks to God, who which we will be spending eternity over and over and over again. We're reminded that our hope comes from Him. Finally, this morning, we must learn to become thankful or we shall surely grow arrogant and self-satisfied. You see, it's quick for us to become dependent on ourselves. It's quick for us to come to a place where we believe we need no one else. I want to read a story to you about a man named Martin Reinker. He was a minister in a little town in Ellenburg, Germany, about 350 years ago. He was the son of a poor coppersmith, but somehow he managed to work his way through education. Finally, in the year 1617, he was offered the post at Archidon in his hometown parish. A year later, what has come to be known as the 30-Year War broke out. His town was caught up in the middle. In 1637, the massive plague that swept across the continent hit Ellenburg. People died at a rate of 50 a day, and the man was called upon to bury most of them, Martin Reinker. In all, 8,000 people died, including Martin's own wife. His labors finally came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the war. His ministry spanned 32 years, all but the first and last overwhelmed by the great conflict that engulfed the town. But in the midst of this, he makes a statement. Now, thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. It takes a magnificent spirit. Einhard, his spirit was not focused on what was happening around him, but the hope that surpassed all things. Surrounded by tremendous adversity, thanksgiving is what brings us deliverance. The moments that we have as we reflect on what Lamentations tells us, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait for the deliverance from the Lord. My question for you this morning, church, is where are you putting your hope? Who is your portion? Where is your foundation? If it's beyond anything except Jesus, it will fall short. As we reflect during the season of reasons we can give thanks, we've discovered not only the when, always, but the why. Because God is a faithful God who loves his children and sent his only son to die on the cross for us. Whatever your challenge, whatever your burden is this morning, I pray that you will lay it before the Lord, that you will give thanks for what he has given to you, knowing that he will carry you through even the darkest and most difficult of circumstances. That's worship to the Christ.